All right. So, good morning, everybody. And can you see my share screen here? Let's start with some praise this morning. Let's
Okay.
praise the Lord, and then we'll open with a word of prayer. We should all be getting more used to this now. Oh, Lord, I praise you this morning because you are. Who is the Lord, and what is his attributes that affects you this morning? I was wondering to myself if something bad had happened in my life yesterday or this morning, would I still be a person of praise? Would I be able to get up in the morning if I got into a car accident yesterday? Not that we're driving around, but if something happened yesterday, and would I be able to wake up and still say, but you, oh Lord, I praise because you are what? Let's spend a few minutes with that.
Oh God, I praise you this morning because you are my protector.
Yes.
Lord, I praise you this morning because you are the saver of souls.
Amen. Let's hear a few more. So take yourself off of mute. Go ahead and just take yourself off mute here and shout some praise to the Lord. Let's express our praise to the Lord.
Oh Lord, I praise you this morning because you are my refuge and you're my comforter.
Oh Lord, I praise you this morning because you are the same yesterday as you're going to be tomorrow.
Right. How about some of our high school students in here? Junior high students.
Oh Lord, I praise you this morning because you're so glorious.
Right.
Oh Lord, I praise you this morning because you are my redeemer.
All right.
Hey Lord, I praise you this morning because your mercies are new every morning.
Oh Lord, I praise you this morning because you are the answers to our prayers.
Oh Lord, this morning we gather together as your people and we want to direct our attention to you. We want to give you our adoration, our praise, our thanksgiving. You deserve all of the glory because of your steadfast love and your faithfulness in the lives of your people and even your hand of protection over this world. Lord, talking with a brother yesterday, we must recognize, Lord, that if any moment you took your protection off, Lord, this entire universe can just be destroyed. It is by your very goodness that we breathe, the air that we breathe, the blood that runs through our veins. Father, we want to give you all the thanks and the praise this morning because you are simply worthy of it. And so fill our hearts with the understanding of who you are. As one brother said, you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forevermore. You are the Lamb seated on the throne. You are the one who is intimate with each of your children. You provide for every need. And every day we can run to you as our rock, as our refuge, as our shelter in the time of need. So, Lord, we look to you. We give you thanks. We give you praise. And Lord, even if we had nothing more from you, it would be enough to continue to give you praise. Lord, you are that worthy. You are glorious indeed. And so this morning as we gather, we pray once again that you would shine the light of your word into our lives. Your spirit would reveal to us and speak to us, Lord, so that the life that you've given to us would be so real this morning, and you would stimulate us into the type of people that you have saved us to become. Lord, we live in this world that is so damaged and so scarred by sin, and yet, Lord, you have been in the process of healing our scars, healing our wounds, and you are making us to be a people that's dependent upon you and can, that our lives would be the platform to show to the world this new life you've given to us. So we thank you this morning. We pray for your hedge of protection over us, but not just protection. We want to really revel and enjoy and bask in this life that you've given us this morning. So we thank you and be with us now. We know that you're with us. When I say be with us, just remind us that your presence is with us. We thank you. We look to you, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, it's so powerful as we pray these things because we're looking at the Beatitudes here. And last week, we heard from our brother Frank, who led us through verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And for me, I'm going to ask a volunteer. I know some of our high school students are great readers, so I'm going to ask our younger ones this morning, can one of our younger brothers or sisters read from verse 3 to verse 7? That's where we've come to, and let's just sit in front of God's word and have his word read.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they're in the kingdom of heavens. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy.
Amen. Thank you. So this is where we've been seeing our trajectory going through the Beatitudes. Brother Frank and myself are praying where we go in January, because the Durano devotionals that many of you still use is going into the book of Matthew in January. So we're not sure if that's where we're going to go, but we might, we've been kind of hovering in here. We might be able to pull back and look at the whole gospel. There are three things that stood out to me. I didn't even hear the whole class last week, but there are a few comments that Frank made and a comment that Pastor James made. I'm going to put them down here right now. They just seem to really strike a chord with me. And so I wanted to use as a stepping stone to think a little bit more about mercy, and then we'll begin on to verse 8. So blessed are the merciful. That is simply being the merciful, those who are full of mercy. And I'm going to say this again later, but if we look back to these things, one of the observations we made already is that these are not necessarily commands that, or some type of moral code that we need to work to in order to gain access into the kingdom. Remember, these are more of kingdom qualities or kingdom characteristics of people that are in the kingdom. right, that are of the kingdom. So let's just put that clarification out there. If you are a kingdom person today, if you are someone who belongs because of God's grace and your faith in Christ Jesus as your Savior, you're a kingdom person this morning. And if you're a kingdom person, these are traits, these are characteristics of those who are citizens of the kingdom, right? So that's you and me, right? Here's a first thing that Mr. Lee said last week. Mr. Lee, that sounds funny. He said that being full of mercy is a defining characteristic of someone who has experienced the mercy of God. Being full of mercy is a defining characteristic. This is what he said, a defining characteristic of someone who has experienced the mercy of God. He made mention that the Romans in that culture at that time, it was very clear that the Romans, what they looked to, and when you look at what a man is and what a strong person is, it was not someone who exhibited mercy. In fact, what they glorified was people who had courage and justice, discipline, and power. He made a mention that a Roman philosopher, I think, Frank, you could correct me. You said that a Roman philosopher said that in those days, mercy was a disease of the soul. Mercy was something that is so looked down on. It was a disease. If you are a merciful person, that's for losers, right? It was a sign of weakness, not courage. But in God's kingdom, being full of mercy is actually a defining characteristic. It is representative of someone who is a kingdom citizen, right? Someone who is a kingdom person, a kingdom-minded person, is someone who is full of mercy because you've experienced the mercy of God. The second thing that struck me from last week was this phrase that Frank said, that mercy, you know, he transitioned later in the class to say, after we've done all the definitions, what does it look like to have mercy in action? What does mercy look like in action? And Pastor James, about that time, chimed in, and I kind of recap his concept like this. He was like, "Hey, look, all right." He didn't talk that way, right? But it's like he's saying, "Hey, look, we can talk about the definitions of mercy. We could study the word mercy. We can study the theology of mercy. But the question is, how do we apply it, right?" Which is very, 2 and 3 are very linked together, right? Because then Frank said, "Oh, perfect transition." Because at the end of the day, if all we do in Sunday school or in church is just study, right? If all we do is know how to study words, look at the Greek, look at the Hebrew, and we take in all this knowledge in our minds, but we don't put what we're studying into action, there's a tremendous gap then. And then I would say there's a huge failing going on within the church. There's like, we've missed it, right? Either by the way we teach it, you know, then it's a teacher's problem. If all we're hovering in is the understanding, the head knowledge of it, or it's a student's gap, right? Like, the teachers are leading us to apply it, but it's not, you know, we're not seeking God's grace to let it be lived out in our life. So that really stood out with me last week. What does mercy look like in action? And in fact, I took a deeper dive into mercy. It wasn't my week to look at mercy, but I did as a result of that. And Frank introduced, you know, the word. We talked about the definition. But the more I looked at mercy in the first couple of days of this week, there's this reference of a word study. And he wrote that God's kindness and goodwill toward, this is mercy. Mercy is God's kindness and goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted, joined with a desire to relieve them. Okay. So what I would write in summary is mercy is not simply feeling compassion. Okay. So this gets mixed sometimes, right? Like we use the word compassion and mercy and I would kind of recap this of saying that many people feel compassion when you see someone miserable under the effects of sin in the world, right? And in their life, just feeling the compassion is one thing. But mercy is not merely feeling the compassion, but mercy exists only when something is done to try and help to alleviate distress, right? So mercy does not end with the feeling of compassion. Mercy exists when something is done to alleviate the distress, right? So you guys tracking with this? Yeah. So mercy is showing kindness. All right, let me use my annotation tool here. Mercy is how do I do this? Okay. Mercy is showing kindness. Okay. So the key word here, operative, show kindness or concern for someone in serious need. So it's not just feeling compassion. You're showing it. Mercy is, I'm struggling here. How do I stop this? Mercy is giving help. Okay. So now you're talking about giving help. All right. So operative word to give this help, right? So it's not just feeling compassion. Now you're actually giving help to the wretched. Next, we can see that it is to relieve the miserable, okay? So we have these action verbs showing, giving, relieving the miserable, right? Can you guys see all that? Okay, so if I was to highlight that again, look at these action words, right? To show kindness, to give help, to relieve. Mercy is not simply feeling it inside. Mercy exists when something is done, right? So that's really the point 2 and 3 where Frank and Pastor James were going last week. So let me have you guys break out. I'm going to ask Daniel to break us out into discussion groups of 3 or 4 up to his choosing for about 5-6 minutes. Let's go for 6 minutes. And the question I want you to discuss is, where am I? If God is so full of mercy to us, and we are now able to be full of mercy to others, right? That's kingdom language, because God has been fully merciful to us. Now we can be full of mercy to others. This quote that Frank wrote was, and I think he just wrote this himself. He says, if you've been through a lot of pain and there's a redeeming, then there is a redeeming value and hope in the pain that you've gone through. His words, Frank's words for verse 7 is, blessed are you because you will have a wider net of compassion and forgiveness, I would add, to show, because you have been shown mercy by God. Right? Because God has shown you mercy, you're able to display this mercy to others. So get into your discussion groups. Here's a question I want you to ask. What are some of the real life situations where Christians might feel compassion, but nothing is done to alleviate the distress? All right. You understand that question? Okay, go ahead and get into your groups. What are real life situations that Christians face in the church or out of the church, and you feel compassion, but nothing is done to alleviate. All right. Go ahead and think of examples. We're going to come back and I want you to share it as a class. All right. So go ahead and do that right now. Are able to, would you share something that you talked about in your group? What's an example?
One thing, Mr. Alex, we talked about was that, you know, would you, someone on the road says the sign out and says, well, I'm have no job, I have no money, I need food. But, you know, are they really legitimate, or are they panhandlers? Right. You know, give them some money, but are they going to use that money for food or buy drugs or alcohol?
Right. Okay.
We don't know. You know, it's really a hard situation to decide what the right thing is to do.
Right, right.
So maybe legitimate organizations are better, but we discussed that briefly.
Right. Okay. Good. Yeah, I think we see that pretty often, right? You see someone on the street with a sign.
Yeah.
You don't know, right? It is sad because it is true. I think there's a concept, right, that you don't know what they're going to use their money for. So then do you help them or not, right? And so Christians might feel compassion, but nothing is done to alleviate distress. There's, under this definition of mercy, there's no mercy necessarily there. All right. So what else? What else is going on? What other examples can you guys think of? Can I hear from some other groups?
Yes. We talked about seeing people in need, whether it may be an accident or feeling ill. We have compassion for them, but we don't do anything more.
Oh, so you mean like seeing, okay, so you're saying seeing maybe like an accident on the side of the street, like a car accident?
No, mainly hearing about it.
Hearing about someone that you know, right?
We don't give them the phone call or visit, or even making the meals. We feel bad for them. We don't.
Right. So Janet's example is feeling bad. Someone that we know, but we don't go that step to drop a text or a phone call, or maybe even a visit, right? Okay, good. How about some other examples?
I'm gonna bring it to the heart stuff.
Yeah, so, go ahead.
So if we bring it home where, you know, with our spouse, our parents, our children, our friends, our brothers and sisters, can we show mercy? It is often really, really difficult to show mercy to those closest to you, to truly understand what they're going through, what they're struggling with, you know, and to just show some compassion and then act accordingly. I think that is one that if we can achieve that first, then we can go out into the next circle, let's say to the church circle, and then next out to the community circle, and then further on. If we can't even achieve mercy at home, I think it's going to be a real struggle for us to achieve mercy anywhere else.
Yeah, great point, Lily. So why is that? Why, and this is open to the floor, why might it be hard, difficult to show mercy to in the home or even within the spiritual home, right, of our church? Brothers and sisters around here, why? And so just to clarify, right, we might feel compassion, but we're not showing mercy, right? Mercy, if it is an act, if it is something done, then we would lack mercy. Why would we might even feel compassion, but nothing is done? Why is it so hard? Anybody?
Apathetic. You're apathetic.
Okay, apathetic.
Something you're not used to.
All right, something you're not used to. Right, that's true.
You could have a hardened heart.
Okay, hard heart. Right.
We love comfort.
Okay. Personally lacking comfort?
No, we love comfort. So it's
we love comfort. Right, yeah. Right. Mm, so I need my time. Right, which may seem justifiable to a lot of people, right? Like, man, I just had a long day of work. I mean, who's gonna show me some mercy, right? Right. And then I gotta kick my feet up, and I know they're struggling, but I'm struggling to eat this pizza here, right?
Mm. Okay. I think could be expectations. For those, at least for those around us who we're closest to. Mm-hmm. That's why, because we have expectations and we have hurts from those who are closest to us. Mm. That makes it really hard.
So because there's a hurt from someone.
I think so, yeah. Well, you know, Lily brought it to this point, right? And she asked the hard questions, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Lily.
Yeah. That's the hard stuff, boy. Right? Yeah.
And have mercy on Lily. Yeah. So Lily's point is that if we can't even practice that inside the family of, or let's say even within kingdom, right, people, how does this even get manifest outside? Does it have to be that way? Think with me, if you will, right? Think with me, if you will. Does Jesus give us any examples of the picture of mercy, right? When something is done to alleviate distress, right, meeting the need of someone in serious need, relieving someone in a miserable state. Does the scripture give us any example picture of that?
Parable of the Good Samaritan.
Wow. Okay, you read my mind. All right, so let's look at that for a second. All right, may I have someone read this first part here?
I'll go ahead and do it.
Okay.
Luke 10, 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live.
Okay. So Jesus, so they're saying, you know, what's important, right? And Jesus says, love the Lord and love your neighbors, love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus says, do this and you will live. All right. Can I have another volunteer read this next slide? Okay. Let's not that Casey is old at all. Let's go to one of our younger ones again. I love to engage some of our high school students. I'm looking at you, Jay Chin, right now. Go ahead. Come on, JC.
Luke 10, 25 to 37. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Mm. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, and when he pouring on oil and wine, then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise.
All right, so I'm going to give you guys a chance to go ahead and turn on your annotation tools. Feel free to make some observations here, highlight if you'd like, give you guys just a minute or two. This is Jesus's answer to who is my neighbor that I am to love. Okay, this is Jesus's answer. Jesus gives them an answer by making up a story. Jesus made up a story. I mean, that also shows the power of story, right? So Sunday school teachers, children worship teachers, right? Practice, learn to tell stories. Jesus, the model teacher, made up a story to illustrate his point. Okay, good. So you have a Samaritan. There's the word pity. I like that. Okay, someone highlighted the word pity. Took care of him. Look after him. Good. Right? Bandaged his wounds. Any observations? Any other observations? Okay, I'm gonna use a color that hasn't been used yet.
It's just observations in general, or are we looking for anything specific?
Yeah, anything that no. I mean, many of you are familiar with this, so what do you remember of this? Right. Even Ryan would know this story, right? Ryan's our youngest one in here, right? Ryan, you know this, right? From Children Worship, VeggieTales, right? VeggieTales. This is just a person, right? And he's traveling down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was attacked. He was stripped of his clothes, so he's probably, you know, all beaten up, bloodied, looking pretty miserable on the side of the street. He was half dead. Someone highlighted that. And someone highlighted here, first you have a priest, okay? So that is someone of the tribe of Levi, of the Jews. Saw the man pass by on the other side, right? So that's like, okay, they're on a road. He's on the road and they go on the other side. And so to a Levite, okay, so not necessarily a priest, but also someone of the tribe of Levi, right? These are the people who are assigned priestly duties, knows the righteous standard of the Lord. When he came to the place, same thing, passed by on their side. And then what do you guys know about Samaritan? But, right, a Samaritan. Come on, someone tell me. I don't want to take too long with this.
They don't associate with Jews, I think, right? And they're kind of okay. Cold and different people.
Yep. And on the opposite side, the Jews didn't associate with Samaritans. They were called what? Half-breeds, right? They were mixed race. They were a mixed race people, right? And mixed Jews with, you know, other race. So they looked down on Samaritans. They didn't associate. I mean, they hated Samaritans. So Jesus to use the Samaritan as a story. I mean, I think we all know that, right? I think what's interesting to me is that when I used to watch the VeggieTale cartoons of this, you almost see the priest and the Levite, the first two who pass by on the other side. They are almost like, you know, they look over and they're like, ugh, you know, like, ugh, you know, sus, right? For those of you who play Among Us, oh, that person looks so sus, you know, so suspicious. Ugh. You know, who knows what that miserable looking person would do if I helped him? Maybe if I helped him, you know, he's going to take all my money. Maybe if I helped him, he's going to kidnap me. Maybe if he helped me, I mean, he just looks so sus. So I'm going to walk on this other side of the road. That's what I see when I see the cartoons and VeggieTales, right? It's like, you know, the priest is all, you know, holier than thou and all looking over like, ugh, you know, I don't know. So, you know, I'm not going to touch that. You know, I'm going to get dirty. You know what it doesn't say? It does not say that they did not have compassion. The Bible does not say that they did not have compassion. It does not say that. The Bible is silent on that. They could or could not have had compassion. They just chose to not do anything. And they passed by on the other side of the road. It does not say that they did or did not have compassion. They could have had compassion. They could have felt something inside. Like, oh man, look at that person. He's beaten, half dead. He's robbed. He looks like he's all tore up. He's in a bad state. Oh man, should I do something? I'm going to pass by on the other side. We don't know what it's right. We don't know what was going on inside. They could have had thoughts like that. It doesn't say that. Right. VeggieTales took an interpretation that they didn't even have compassion. Right. But they could have. They didn't show mercy. It was the Samaritan, as you guys are highlighting, where he saw him and he took pity. That's the mercy. And he went to him. There's action here. Bandaged him. Poured oil and wine, put the man on his own donkey, someone highlighted there, brought him, these are action words, took care of him. Next day, he gave money to the innkeeper to say, keep looking after him. When I return, I will reimburse you. I'm going to pay you even more for any extra expense. I'm going to come back and go the extra mile. Then Jesus asked them the question, because that's cool about Jesus, right? When people ask a question to Jesus, who's the neighbor that I'm supposed to love? Jesus makes up the story and gives another question. Which of these three was the neighbor? I just gave you a story. I made up a story about neighbors, and which one was a neighbor? And notice Jesus's comment within the command was not just love your neighbors. It's love your neighbors as you love yourself. So Jesus is not even saying don't love yourself. He's just saying love others as you would love yourself, right? Love others as you would love to be treated, right? If you were beaten and half dead and stripped of your clothes and laying there needing help, wouldn't you so desire that someone took care of you, right? Wouldn't you desire that someone wouldn't second guess you? I'm not saying to have no caution out there, right? But I'm saying if you're in that needy position and you're in a miserable state, you would want to be treated a certain way. You have no credentials about you. It doesn't say that the man was rich or poor. The man could have been a well-to-do man for all we know, right? And he just wanted to be treated with some dignity, treated with some understanding, someone to have mercy on me, not just compassion. Don't just feel compassion and walk away. Please just help me, right? And even the expert of the law said, yeah, the one who is a neighbor is the one who had mercy, right? Which is what we would say, mercy has to be in action. So if I was to add something to Frank's word last week, it would be mercy has to be in action. There's no mercy if it's not in action, right? And so Jesus says, yes, that's right. Go and do that. Okay, you guys with me? All right, so then we got to ask the question for ourselves now, right? Okay, so go down to the bottom question. Now, what might mercy look in action? For all the examples that you just talked about in your small group where Christians do nothing, or as Lily asked a tough question, where we don't even show mercy to one another in a family, what might mercy look like in action? Right? When we're always looking out for ourselves, how might we demonstrate mercy toward those situations in need? Right? And again, this is not to say that we don't have some common sense, right? Is it smart to just give people money so that they spend it on drugs? No, right? I mean, it's sad that we live in a world like that, but what then might it look like? Does that mean we show no mercy on that individual? What might it look like then? Right? This week, I had the privilege to be in prayer meeting with Brother Scott. And Scott always sees his workplace as a place of ministry, a kingdom work. He doesn't call it that. I call it that for him. Not knowing that we're talking about this, he said, there is a janitor at his workplace and in his office, and the janitors come around and clean all throughout the day and probably sanitizing things. Scott said that when he looked at this janitor working so hard, he said he sensed his pain. And so even, he said, during the hot summer days, he saw this janitor at his workplace working so hard and sweating. And Scott says he keeps a bunch of bottles of water at his in his office, and he offered this janitor water. And the janitor said, you know, wow, like no one treats me like this here. I asked Scott a question. I'm like, what do you mean? Because he said it really quick. He said, I sensed his pain. Scott, what was the pain? You know, you said I sensed his pain. What type of pain are you talking about?
He's given me some hints that, you know, he lost his wife 3 years ago. Mm. And he said, no, I've had some issues in my work career. I used to be a manager. Mm. I had a lot of people reporting to me. Then the whole thing collapsed. Mm. My life has been just in turmoil since then. Mm. But sometime I'll tell you about it. I don't want to pry, but
yeah,
something is background that's bothering him a lot.
Mm. So Scott said, you know, I didn't want to pry with him. And he said, maybe I'll tell you more in the future to Scott. And, but Scott, what type of pain was that? Was that physical pain? Was that emotional pain? Was that what did you sense?
Probably. Well, he told me he had an athletic injury in high school. He walked with a limp because he had an injury in basketball in high school that he still suffers from. I imagine he's in his 50s. I'm not sure exactly, but I would say
so. There was physical pain, but because of his family situations and his work situations, would you say that you also sensed, I mean, did you sense emotional pain?
Yes.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
Well, I talked about, said, well, it's Vincent behind all this, really, God, you know, you have problems like this and you're suffering pain, pray to him for guidance.
Mm.
And he said, yeah, I think he maybe have Christian background the way he was talking, but I don't think he goes to church anymore the way he was talking, but just, I think it's a troubled soul, his wife passing and trouble from his daughter being in Georgia. And just, you know, whatever happened in his life has just really bothered him a lot. You know, it feels like failure, but he's worked so hard. I don't like to do a lazy, cheap job and sloppy. I do a real good job, make it look nice for everybody. You know, that's really I'm not that way. It's a good work ethic.
So he's working hard, right? Mm-hmm. He's working hard.
Yeah.
And you see him working hard And when you shared what you did with me in prayer meeting, I felt that that was mercy, that you're caring for him. I noticed that Scott didn't just say, I'll pray for you. Even though Scott does that, you know, Scott oftentimes will bring to us in prayer meeting, oh, please pray for my coworker. This person, you know, just got laid off, or this person just got injured. This person, his daughter has a very rare disease that we prayed for. We've prayed for people's ACL surgeries and all that type of stuff. So I know Scott prays for them. But in this instance, Scott didn't just say, I will pray for you. Scott acted out in mercy, right? To care for him, to understand what Lily was saying, understand what he's facing, understand, you know, Scott said that he sensed his pain. So he went to try to understand. That's what Lily was saying, right? Understand the pain. And he not only did that when he saw that this gentleman needed care, he also would give him multiple bottles of water. And this janitor said to Scott, I've never, like, no one here treats me the way you do. No one treats me the way that you do. And so I think that is a picture for us. Would you guys agree with that? Nod your heads or show a thumbs up, right? Is that mercy in action, right? And I believe that there's many of us in this call that have responded in those same ways. I praise the Lord for that. Can I share another story with you? I didn't ask for permission, but Kai, is Kai on today?
Yeah, I'm on.
Hey, Kai, would you mind if I shared the story of your parents' story and their pastor?
Yeah, sure.
So Kai shared with me that when his parents immigrated to the United States, they were, and the reason why I thought about this, I don't know if Pastor James is on, but Pastor James brought this example up last week about people who immigrate over and for whatever reason are stopped at the border and held in detention centers, right? And so they're detained. And so they're split up. Well, Kai's parents or his father came initially and immigrated over. And instead of getting a warm welcome from the land of the free, his father was held with a bunch of other immigrants in detention. And Pastor James brought this up last week, not this situation, but he said, when we hear the stories, do we feel compassion? Well, now the question is, yes, we might feel compassion, but do we act in mercy in those instances? Well, you know, obviously everyone, you know, we're kind of also limited in how many places we can show mercy. But I'll share with you that Kai's family background is that they were not Christians. And yet there was a pastor of a church who knows of this detention center. And this pastor in Orange County would often go and visit Kai's parents in the detention center show them mercy and love and care for them and look in upon them, check in on them. It was because of this pastor's act of mercy that touched Kai's dad so much that Kai's dad realized that he's never met a person in the world that has that type of love. And when he learned that this is the type of love that Jesus shows, that because this pastor said, I show this love because Jesus showed me this love. Kai's father was so moved to say, if this is the love of Jesus, I want to have this Jesus too. And so Kai's father came to Christ, placed his faith in Christ because a kingdom-minded person showed Christ's mercy to someone who was afflicted and in a miserable state. Would you guys nod your heads and say, is that mercy in action? Would you nod your head if you agree with that? I have always been blessed by that story. When Kai shared that story with me, he shared it with me a few times. It moves me to my core. And I wish, and I pray to God, God, would I be, it doesn't matter if I'm a pastor or not, but would I be full of mercy like that pastor? That because God has been so full of mercy on him as a child of God, he showed that type of mercy to immigrants who he does not know, who he probably could take the rest of his day and rest. And yet he drove there to the detention center where this immigrant was held and consistently day in and day out showed mercy upon Kai's father. And I so amen this testimony that as a result, so much mercy was experienced by Kai's father that Kai wanted to have this Jesus. Wow. I mean, if that is not a story of mercy, I don't know what is, right? And so let me remind you again, these Beatitudes, okay, this is my final screen and I won't have time to go into the next one. These Beatitudes were not given as commands, but as realities for those who are part of God's kingdom. If you are part of God's kingdom, this is the reality for you. You may not be perfect in these, but these are what we might call kingdom characteristics or evidences of kingdom people. If you are a kingdom person today, this is the evidence that you are a kingdom person. You have mercy. Now, as Frank and I clarified, these are not natural personality traits. Some people are just, you know, more meek. We've talked about that before. That's not what we're talking about. In fact, it's the people that you least expect to be meek that show signs of meekness. That's confirmation that they are a child of God, right? These, as Frank said, are not produced by the natural man. So when Linda was saying a few weeks ago, China in our culture teaches people to be meek, I'm going to say false. You can produce a natural man type of cultural meekness, but that is false. Yes, even non-Christians can show a form of meekness and mercy. But that is not what we are talking about here. We are talking about people who belong to Jesus, who know the mercy of Jesus. And because you know the mercy of Jesus, you are now able to show mercy to others, not because it's your natural personality trait, not because you learned it from your parents and your culture, or because China taught you to be merciful. No. These are effective because the Holy Spirit produces it in you. And people will see that, and it will draw others to Christ. And if you are a person of Christ, if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you because of faith in Christ and by his grace, these traits will be effective in you. And I put in parentheses, even if it's imperfect, it's okay. Some of us may have the Holy Spirit prompting us this morning. I am not that merciful. Amen. That's okay. Because even if it's imperfect in you, even that ping in your heart this morning to say, I desire to be a more merciful person, even to my spouse, even to my children, even to my brother or sister in the home, right? I heard my two daughters arguing this morning, and I threw out my typical sarcastic, you know, phrase like, oh, aren't we in a worshipful mood this morning, right? Well, if they have the Holy Spirit in them, my prayer is that they sense a ping in their heart from the Holy Spirit saying, I will lead you to become a person of mercy because you desire that. Even the fact that there's a prick on your heart this morning would tell you that the Holy Spirit is at work. And that's a good thing. We say amen to that. These are not natural personality traits. Some of you are just, you know, wired a little bit meek. I am not wired in a meek way. I pray that the Holy Spirit would make me into the meekness that he desires of me. I am not a naturally merciful person, but I pray that I won't learn to be a cultural Chinese merciful person. No, I pray that I would be culturally Holy Spirit person. I pray that the Holy Spirit would lead me. Boy, when I hear of that pastor who because of his mercy led Kai's parents to Christ, oh, I beg of God, make me and help me, prompt me, produce in me that type of mercy so that by my life, I don't even have to share the words of the gospel, right? But by the life that is displaying the gospel, it would so naturally pour out of my life. Someone would feel it. So they would ask me, why are you this way? And I can tell them the story of Jesus. I can tell them that he's the forgiver of sins. I could tell them that he's the giver of new life, right? You guys, amen? Any amens out there? I can't see y'all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Hey, Brother Kai, since I shared your story, would you mind closing us in a word of prayer this morning?
Yeah, sure. Do you mind if I share a couple of things real quick?
You cannot. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah, I'll have mercy on you.
All right. No, I think I just kind of want to reiterate what you said recently about having, you know, that type of mercy. I think this is an area where this is where the Holy Spirit's doing work in our lives, right? To show us, like, it's having mercy, you know? Sometimes, especially when we think of, like, the worldly way of mercy, it's like we got to hop on the next trendy social justice or trendy, like, fight for a cause.
Right, and, BLM, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and one of the things is, like, you know, like Scott's example is maybe nobody else is seeing that, and he's the only one that God's showing that to, you know, like no one, everyone's just oblivious to, and because God extended that mercy, he's being blessed and fulfilling this part of this reality, you know. Nice. I think one of the aspects is, as I'm working through this, is like I don't know if I could, you know, like whether physical limitations or the availability of being, you know, hey, I can't go to so-and-so every single day, but that's kind of like the irrelevant matter. The more important thing is you are able to willing out your love to show mercy in the capacity that you're allowed to, you know?
Yes.
I think that's the kind of like the homework here for us for me, you know, in your lessons, that the reality that God creates is also something we experience, and thus we experience it. We're able to allow the Spirit to manufacture out of our lives to bless other people.
Right. And so this, yes, thank you for clarifying. So this is not guilt trip mercy, right? This is, hey, like for instance, this week in our youth group, our counselors were, you know, texting each other, and usually Kai's always like texting something about caring for the boys and reaching out or whatever. And this week there was another sister, you know, who's a counselor, and Lucy, you know, she texted a bunch of, you know, ideas out. I think Natalie did that. And I'm like, wow, just thank the Lord for those. And I would hope that Kai doesn't feel like guilty. Oh man, I've been working double shifts. I'm newly married. I'm barely keeping my head afloat right now. I didn't get to contribute as much, right? You know, that's not kingdom mentality, right? It's not about guilt tripping, feeling guilty about yourself and saying, gosh, I'm so busy, but I'm not showing enough mercy, you know, poo on me, right? I don't, you know, feeling condemned because I'm not that, you know, that's cultural. That's a humanistic approach towards having mercy, right? Thank you, Kai, for clarifying. So sometimes even in our limited capacity, we don't have to feel guilty. But it's for what capacity we've been given and the availability and what God is able to show us. And we don't have to jump on every movement that's out there. Thank you for clarifying, brother.
Yeah, that was from Pastor, from Brother Frank. We were discussing how, you know, when it's of ourselves, it becomes more self-promoting. Ooh. And then when it's of the Holy Spirit, it's promoting God and his glory.
Yes. Ooh, that would be a good quote. If it's of ourselves, if we're trying to make it, if we're trying to be merciful, you see, that's if I'm trying to be a human meek, because it's a valued ethic, or I'm trying to be a good person, you know, then it's good. It's self-promoting. Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
I'll close this in prayer.
Thank you.
Dear Lord God, thank you, Lord, for gathering us here today in this Sunday class, not just as a class, but even as a way of learning and worshiping you, Lord, as brothers and sisters. Lord, we thank you for this Beatitude series that not only do we learn the intellectual and the knowledge side, but Lord, we have, and myself personally have been convicted to learn about the actions that are expressed, mm-hmm. Because we have been on the receiving end. Mm. And because of that, Lord, we have the capacity through your Holy Spirit to be able to be the givers for many others out there who have not yet known you, Lord. So mm-hmm. I just pray for our brothers and sisters that although we are not perfect givers, Lord, you are the perfect giver, mm-hmm. that you are continuously working in and through us for your greater kingdom. Mm-hmm. Pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.